Okay, this is W2 TTT, Whiskey 2 Tango Tango Tango. Good evening, everyone. This is Gordon, W2 TTT, and this is the Bergen Amateur Radio Association Technical Net. This net meets weekly on the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club 2-meter repeater, 149.55 megahertz. In Alpine, New Jersey. The access is using a tone of 141.3, and it uses a minus 600 kilohertz offset. It's minus 600 kilohertz offset. This net may also be accessed via Echolink using the K2 Foxtrot Juliet. That's K2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L as in Lima Echolink node. So feel free to look that up. Kilo 2 Foxtrot Juliet dash L. Alrighty, the purpose of this net is to have a conversation about amateur radio, telecommunications, computers, electronics, electricity, what we do with it all. What we do with natural phenomena related to it, how it affects us, how we react to it. I know in the last 24 hours we've had a CME that's been kind of bathing this Earth. That's a coronal mass ejection. They're always exciting. We're actually threat to potential rolling power outages, which would have been a bad thing had that come to pass, but good news is it didn't. So anyway, the way we check in to this net is that we call with our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. That's right. Even if you don't have anything to contribute, we need you to check in so that we might tap you so that you can contribute. So please do check in even if you weren't intending on making a question or a comment. And comments can be anything from an announcement of upcoming events, or even just something that you've done recently that you're interested in, or something you've done a long time ago that you're kind of proud of and that you might want to share. Please share stories. Stories are good. So with that in mind, let's do this in an orderly way. These call signs begin with Alpha. Please call K2BARW2TTT.
K2BAR. This is Alpha Juliet 4 Whiskey Delta Mobile. The name is Rachel, and I do have a comment.
Got you, Rachel. Very good. We'll get you on the list. Thank you very much for checking in. Anybody else with an Alpha call? Alrighty. Our next block would be the whiskey stations.
W2JEK, Don with a comment.
Donald,
there is
a comment. Anybody else with a whiskey?
WE4, Charlie, no questions or comments.
Good evening, Sir Charles. It's always nice to hear you as well. Saw your buddy Bob Armbruster recently. And I mentioned to him that we do speak fairly often, however briefly. Hi. Any other whiskey stations?
W2LCN, name is Rick, with no questions, no comments.
Okay, Rick, very fine. Good evening to you as well. Any other whiskeys? try that again, the Kilo 2s. Any other Kilos? Well, that's very odd. Okay, let's move out to the November station. The station that's call sign begins with the letter N, November.
Good evening, this is November 2, India Zebra Echo.
November, question, Echo again.
Okay, I don't know my license, but this is November 2, India Zebra Echo. Good evening, and we have no questions or comments at this time.
All I got was that you were John. It's November 2, ? Echo. So, one more time with feeling, keep it short.
November 2, India Zebra Echo. India Zebra Echo.
Oh, John. Hello. Very good. Boy, that was absolutely magnificent, that last transmission. Very good. Any questions or comments?
No questions or comments at this time.
Okay, thank you, sir. Alrighty, any other Novembers?
And S2K, Jim, no questions at this point.
Okay, Jim, very good. Good evening to you, sir. And any other Novembers? Okay, any station, any call. Okay, my last but not least, anything from the Echo Link? Alrighty, well let's get right to it. We have two questions and I have a topic of sorts. Actually, I have more than just a topic of sorts, I actually do have a question. So, Rachel, your comment, AJ4WD, K2BARWDTTK.
K2BAR in the group, this is AJ4WD Mobile. I wanted to make a couple of comments. First, the VARA auction is this Sunday. The doors open at noon, that's 12 p.m. for those that are going to be auctioning off some gear. The doors will be opened at 1 p.m., 1300 Eastern Time, or Zulu Time, for those that are coming to purchase at the auction. Please be aware, this weekend is daylight savings time, and we're going back to standard time, so the clocks will go ahead 1 hour. We will lose 1 hour of sleep. That's statement number one, or comment number one. Comment number two, the amateur extra class that I've been running, this is our last session of the class. It will be a review session. So any and all that are looking to take their extra exam are welcome to sit in on our review session. And then I'm sure John's going to mention next week will be the exam, the VARA exam. So I'll pass it on to Don. But I did want to make everyone aware that we will have a review session for the extra class exam this Friday at the Washington Township Community Center. So for those that are taking the class, just a reminder, for those that are looking to take the exam, you're more than welcome to join us for the review. Back to Ned.
Okay, Rachel, it's very good. Any questions on either topic for Rachel? Okie dokie. Anything you want to follow up with, Rachel?
Not at this time.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Mr. Don, no ball.
K2BAR and the net W2JEK. Good evening, everybody, and thank you for the introduction there, Rachel.
and we're looking forward to seeing the people who are in your extra class show up. People that come to the test session, if you have a license, please bring your license and a photocopy of the license. If you do not have a license, we'll need your social security number. Test fee is $15. I appreciate people bringing exact change. If you wish, you can bring a calculator. However, the memory must be clear. And other devices such as cell phones, iPods, etc. may not be used as cell phones, so it must be a calculator only, you know, there's other devices as per the ARRL. And we will be at 7, this Friday the 16th at 7 p.m. at the Westwood Regional High School in classroom 123. If you haven't been there before, it's at 701 Ridgewood Road in the township of Washington. And you get there, drive all the way across the front of the school, park in the lot past the stop sign, and you use the door to the back that's facing the street, and that will be right inside. And that, back to that, see if anybody has any questions. W2JK.
Anybody have questions for Don?
Comment?
Go right ahead.
For those that are leery of using their social security number, they can go online prior to coming for the exam and file for an FRN number and then bring the FRN number with them.
Yeah, be advised, though, that it's more than a one-day process. Okie dokie. Well, that was a good point, Rachel. I'm glad you brought that up, because a lot of people get all sorts of skitsy about giving other people their social security number, but bottom line is the FCC needs it. Any other comments or questions? Brady? Well, Rachel, did you want to add anything?
Well, I've had 15 students. They've been faithfully attending, diligently studying, and I thoroughly expect them to show up and take the exam. So we're going to have a lot of fun on the exam night. So I look forward to seeing all of you out and participating and then having a wonderful report at our next Barra session. So without any further ado, I'll turn it back to the net.
Okay, very good. You guys might have noticed I have a change in audio quality. Hopefully it's for the better. Don, how about you? Any follow-ups on what you had to say?
No, not really. I have to thank you for that reminder of the FRN number. We did have the last exam, so it took a while. People were giving me emails because the calls, people that were getting new calls, they weren't coming up right away as soon as expected. And I called Perry Green, I guess it was the week before, and he said they were backed up. There were a lot of people out sick up there, had the flu. I guess that took a good portion of them out of circulation, so they were backed up. But finally, it did come through, so it took a little longer, so than usual, but I do, at least I know when I called up there, they did get the package, which is one of the fears I always have that the post office is going to lose it. But that part was all right. It was just that they had trouble getting to it. Anyway, I guess that's about all I have to say about that. So back to that, W2JK.
Yeah, okay. Well, I know some VEs actually make copies of the forms and all the paperwork before they ship it just in case.
I do some of it, not all of it, though.
Yeah, well, whatever's going to get sent up, but anyway, very good. All right, well, thank you, Don. Thank you, Rachel. Any other additional check-ins, or anybody want to raise a question or make another comment on this or another subject, please call KQBAR-WT2TDT.
W2TTT, KQBAR, this is K2ZO, checking in.
Evening, James. Will you be having a question or a comment or both?
Oh, no, not really. Just a comment about the Social Security number. But, I'll have probably some information next week. I'm working on a couple of little projects. I'll tell you about them later.
Okie dokie. Very good. Well, looking forward to that. Anybody else with checking in or may want to add a question or comment? Alrighty. Well, my questions and comments are kind of go in two different directions tonight. I am wondering what people are using when they want to obtain frequencies to put into their VHF, UHF radios. I have a kind of an unusual opportunity. I have in addition to the 2-meter TYT, the Chinese mobile ring that I have, I also recently purchased the 220 and the 440. The 220 was to replace my second DR-235 that I sold to a friend of mine up in Connecticut who really wanted a DR-235. And after he bought mine, he liked it so much he went and bought another one. He was disappointed I wasn't selling my second one. And the other is to replace a blown 440 radio in the mobile. One of the things that I feel strongly about is that if you're going to use multiple radios in the vehicle, that you should have a lot of muscle memory. In other words, you should be able to operate the radio somewhat intuitively without having to look away from the primary task of driving very much. You want to minimize your distraction. So even whether it's one radio or multiple radios, you should have that in your head as to how to operate safely and do the primary functions with as minimal interference as possible. So my strategy has been to use identical radios where possible. The new TYT radios are $179, I think, each. No matter what band you're on, the funny part is they all have the same model number for the mobile radios, which I think is hysterical. But unlike the Olincos, you can actually program the five buttons, the five primary function buttons, to do what you want them to do. They have a default task of pressing and holding, and then function and press. They have three different functions each, and you can adjust those to whatever you want, and it's very, very flexible. And some of those functions are things you can find in Kenwoods or Icons or Yaesu's or Olincos, but sometimes those radios don't have all those functions that you'd like. Now, all the functions are there. You get to decide which ones you want, primary, secondary, and tertiary. So I think that's a good thing. I think it's a really good thing. So what I was kind of interested about is how do people group or organize their memories? I'm just kind of curious about different techniques for doing that. I have several different ways to think about it, but I'm not going to say. I'm just kind of, as a point of conversation, I'd like to hear what other people do first. So, anybody want to chime in with how they've organized their memories, or have in the past, as the case may be, or how they would like to if they had the time? Okay. No volunteers? N2IZE, how do you organize yours, John?
Hey, let me just make sure I'm making the repeater first. Can you copy me okay?
Q5.
Okay, how do I organize the radio here?
Either an HD or a mobile VHF, UHF radio. How do you organize your memories?
okay. Basically, so far I've done it more or less manually. Just kind of kept a list of repeaters and frequencies and simplex frequencies basically in a text file on the computer and just sort of punched them in manually. The radio here is an HT, the H2FT250 single band. So we've kind of kept it simple here so far, but maybe sometime down the line there when we get into more sophisticated stuff or we get the interconnect cable between the radio and the computer, we'll do it that way. But for now, more or less kept it manual there. Go ahead.
Okay. Very good. So you basically grow it as you see fit. Do you ever move memories around?
Not that much, not that much. To tell you the truth, I only kind of got back into VHF about a year ago, so I haven't really done all that much with it. And, you know, I sort of just punched in a bunch of local repeaters and just let it go at that. And probably we'll start doing more and more stuff as we go on. But basically, for the time being, I just punched in a lot of local machines, a lot of local frequencies that seem to be reasonably active, and just let it go at there for the time being.
Okay. And let me ask this. Where do you live? Where do you work or typically travel? And therefore, what do you typically put in your radio?
Okay, well, I live in Yonkers. And I work in New York City, so more or less commute by, I usually commute by rail, so we usually take the train to and from Manhattan, and sometimes we work from the home QTH here. And the other question I think you said, what was the other question you asked there?
What frequencies do you typically operate on, other than this one?
Okay, well, other than this machine, which has a good signal into the area, so I like to monitor this one a lot, I also work the Weka machine, 14706, sometimes the Limox machine, also the 14691 in Yonkers, and the Yonkers amateur radio repeater here. And a couple of repeaters in Manhattan I've worked a couple of times, but I can't quite recollect the frequencies here. So that's basically it, mostly local stuff.
Okay, and they're mostly 2 meter and 440?
Right now 2 meter, because this radio I have right now is a single band. This radio only has VHF on it. In the old years ago, I used to have a dual bander, but right now, I'm kind of locked on one band, so for the time being, just VHF, but hopefully in the future we'll get something for UHF as well.
Excellent. Alrighty. Well, that's just super. Are there, does anybody else have anything that they do that might be a little different? Do they grow their repeaters? The repeater list differently? Do they organize it? Do anybody want to chime in?
W2JK.
Don?
W2JK. The only radio I have active right now is a link of DJ196. It's a 2 meter only handy talkie. I believe it has 40 memories. The first 20 memories I sort of reserved for ham use, and the second 20 I have public service frequencies, police, local police, fire ground, ambulance, and several other frequencies of that nature, and also the Weather Channel. I think a spent frequency, the Police Emergency Network. The repeaters, I think, start out with the 79 machine and the 1070 machine. I have a couple others in here. I think that this one and I have a couple of, about five simplex frequencies in there as well for the UZEP
various reasons. One of them was the simplex frequency used by the races on their drill night, 146.52. Naturally, the converts the national frequency from 146.55, 146.58. I have a 147.555, which is a simplex frequency that a friend of mine uses at a ham fest. So when I arrived at the ham fest, he's usually there ahead of me. Give him a shout on that frequency. And these frequencies, more or less as the need arises. And I don't move them around much. Basically, that's the way I operate it. Back to net, W2JK.
Okay, very good. Interesting. Anybody else have a different way of organizing things or a different way of collecting things?
AJ4WD.
Rachel, go ahead.
As you know, I do a lot of travel, and so I have over 1,000, or what is it, 999 memories in my mobile rig. So the 900s are public service for races, for Aries, for both here in New Jersey, and then the second half is for Florida. So that bank of memory is dedicated for those two areas for those two specific purposes. And my Kenwood allows me to block those or create a band, if you would, of those, so that if I want to do a scan, I can just scan that band. So I can put it into scan mode for New Jersey, or I can put it into scan mode for Florida. Then the other frequency blocks I have set up for my trip. So if I'm traveling from New Jersey up to Canada, I have it set up so that it would be traveling up through the repeaters in sequence going north. So that if I'm going south, then I go from the high numbers and work my way back down. And I have a mixture of the 2 meters, the 220, and the 440. And it's based on my travel, which ones are more active, which ones are open, which ones I've had positive experience with. And I've used the call book to set that up for my initial go-round. Then I have, as I said, one block is dedicated just for travel within the state of New Jersey. I have another block that's set up just for the travel in Florida. So I have quite a variety of things, and because the computer can hold these things, I have several computer programs. Let me drop it. I have several files saved. So I have, my Canadian frequencies. I have my travel from New Jersey to Canada. My travel from New Jersey to Florida saved in different files so that it's easy to recover and reprogram the radio as needed. Back to that.
Okay, so how do I put this? How do you make sure that they all get loaded, or do you basically just give the ability of some of your radios to load selected memories and leave the others alone?
Well, it is a text file, a flat file, comma separated variable file. So if I want to load everything, I can just append them all together so that I have the ability to manage them as individual groupings. But then when I want to load, I can create a load file, and then that load file I can have all the different ones concatenated together.
W2GTT, that sounds great. Okay. Well, you know, if you don't mind, that might be worthwhile sharing. Well, maybe you could put it somewhere, I don't know. But if you have those files, and it's convenient, you want to ship them to me, I can figure a way to mount them somewhere. If not, if you'd like to, that'd be great if you're willing to.
Yeah, I have no problem in sharing it. One of the other things I'd like to make a comment about is that my GPS downloads. I can download, what do you call it? It has a category for restaurants, a category for libraries, etc. Well, one of the things I was able to do is download a category of 140, another category of 220, a third category of 440, so that I can, in my GPS, say, okay, what is the closest repeater along my trip, along my journey? And it'll show me on the map the different repeaters and their frequencies and PLs. So that is a neat feature of at least my GPS that works in congruency with my radio.
Isn't that marvelous? Well, what model GPS do you have?
I have a TomTom.
That's interesting. I'm on the cusp of thinking of buying a GPS. I don't know if any of the newbie models allow for that, but that's slick. Very nice. And you load it by with a catalog or some sort of, you give it a designator and basically you throw that, it's part of the configuration upload of your GPS. So that's another reason. Rachel had something similar to that in her listing. She had New Jersey RAFEs or emergency frequencies, and she had Florida ones. She has residences in both states. And then also she pointed out that she has what we'll call linear travel frequency selections, which I think is another useful thing. So you just go click, 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 and you just keep going as you progress up the highway. I think that's also a very good technique. Another thing you might find is, and this is useful for mobiles, but it's really useful for HDs, is if you have an area of operations for different things, say repeaters where you go on your weekends, repeaters where you are home, repeaters that you use when you're visiting your brother, that kind of thing, or at a friend's house. Those might all be different, especially for an HD. So what you may consider is the idea of grouping those things around each other. And, I know several of us have started to take the Bergen RAFEs frequencies and then the Passaic and or Red Cross frequencies and putting them in another group. And, when you travel into the city or Long Island, you have another group. And similarly, when, you go down to Central Jersey or out to Morris County, you might have a different pair of groups, things like that, So if you have different, I know a lot of us here in Bergen County have various frequencies programmed for Bergen, but if we're working with the Red Cross, we might, we're more than likely going to end up in most cases, or a lot of cases, over in Passaic County. So it might be useful to have either the Passaic County or the Red Cross frequencies once their lists are more stabilized, although Passaic County's is, but the Red Cross is in a state of flux. So organizing them around points of interest, somewhat the way Rachel did her personal list, might be a good technique. Alrighty, any other comments, questions, confusions on this? Okay. Well, the other thing I'd like to tell you is that the audio quality will transmit and receive on the TYT radios is not quite as sprightful as the Olympus. I don't actually know how sprightful this radio is. I should probably check that out. But I know this is an older Olympus that I'm using here, a DJ510, I believe. It's a dual bender, and works pretty well. I kind of like it. It's got a DR135 or 235 or 435 microphone on it, because the original microphone kind of bit the dust, but these radios tend to have, at least the newer ones, the newer Olympus have a kind of a lot of highs, and so they're what I call spriteful audio, whereas I know on the receive, this radio has amazingly smooth sound on the receive compared to the new Olympus and new anything radios. And, this reminds me of an old Kenwood that's of a similar vintage. Just how smooth the audio sounds from the internal speaker, no less. But, that notwithstanding, it's certainly, very nice to have. The TYT radios are not quite as spriteful. They really aren't. In fact, I'm just listening here. Yeah, this radio is pretty sprightful. It's got plenty of highs. You can actually hear it on the HD. The TYTs are a little less. It's not that they have more bass; it's that they have less high end on the radio. One thing I do notice also that's kind of neat, and I'm wondering if you've ever thought of this: when you install a radio in your car, think about where you're going to put the radio before you even buy the radio, or consider if you have choices of radios to install from your collection. Think about where you're going to install it, because A, you need to make sure there's power and heat taken care of, and also the coax, but more importantly, which way the microphone comes off. The new modern Olympus have their microphone in the front right, front left, pardon me, DR135, 235, 435. The new 6 and 10 meter radios that are in that same form factor, they all have their microphone jack in the front left and the tuning knob in the right. The older Olympus were the other way. The microphone was on the right side and the tuning knob was on the left side. And if you think about that, because Japanese cars are right-hand drive, and so the microphone is nearest the driver. And so with the new Olympus, it's on the right, the microphone's on the left side, because we are left-hand drive. Now, the TYTs are left-hand microphones, depending on how you're installing it, it may not be an issue. If you're installing on the side of a console hump, it may not matter, because it'll actually be easier for you if it's on the right side of the radio, because that will be the radio. Alright, enjoy, thank you again, and I just want to thank the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody on Sunday. This is KTBAR W2TTT off and clear, we'll stand by.